on my heart for quite some time. Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he said, let there be light. And this wonderful, magnificent Lord that we have, in his infinite wisdom, decided to create. And he created everything that we know, everything that we see. And in John 1:1-4, some verses that we're all familiar with, I want to read those. And as we go on through this lesson tonight, I'm going to, what I call, shelf some things. And you have to listen real close for some words and phrases that that'll keep coming back. And just got to kind of catch them to see where the lesson goes. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, and then God told Moses that he was the great I am. Here we have this magnificent, wonderful creator, holy, righteous, more than we can describe, more than we can explain. He knows all, sees all. He's in all things. He speaks into existence this little blue marble we live on, and with his own breath, with his own hands, he forms us from the dust. He breathes into us the breath of life. Of course, we know, you know, the rest of the story. And just remember some of those phrases that were just said in the scripture there, that the life was the light of the world. In the 1700s, there was a judge, and his name was Thomas McKean. He was a Supreme Court justice in the state of Pennsylvania. And he was also a signer of the Declaration of Independence. In his court one day, a man had been found guilty of treason. His name was John Roberts. And the judge had told him that, you've had a fair and impartial trial. He was sentenced to death for this treason. You know, and it'd be neat if I could wear that black robe and put that white hair thing on and talk like they did in the 1700s. It's really, really interesting. But this is what he said as John Roberts stood. If you can picture this in the courtroom, the judge behind the big desk or whatever you call it, the man stands up, convicted of treason, going to be hanged, not in 20 years, but in 7 to 20 days, by the way. He didn't have much time to think about it. And he said, since you have but a short time before you launch into eternity, it behooves you to improve most seriously, to reflect upon your conduct, to repent of your evil deeds, to be in insistent prayers to the great and all-merciful God, that he would forgive your great manifold transgressions and sins, to teach you to rely on the manners of compassion, the dear Redeemer of the dear Redeemer, thereby to avoid the regions of sorrow, those doleful shades where peace and rest are never found, where even hope cannot enter in. It behooves you to seek fellowship, advice, and prayers of pious men, to be persistent at the throne of grace, to learn the way of his happiness. May you, reflecting upon these things, find that the will of the Father of life and light, finding yourself in the company of angels and archangels and the spirits of just men made perfect, may you be found qualified to enter into the joys of heaven, where the joys are unspeakable and full of glory. Could you imagine a judge today telling a convicted murderer or anything, anybody that's on death row, telling him to seek out the God of grace? Deuteronomy 5:29 says that, oh, that men had such a heart in them. And as I saw that, it's the verse, it's kind of talking about Israel there, but just those first two words, oh, that, to me, that's a reaching statement of God, reaching out to people. Oh, that there would be such a heart in them. And it ends, the verse ends, and that it might be well. Genesis 3:9, and the Lord God called unto Adam, where art thou? And I know people have brought this out before, the cool of the day, Adam has sinned, and him and Eve are hiding, and God is walking, and he's calling out Adam. He, of course, he knew where he was at. Adam, where art thou? I got the wrong glasses on, so y'all bear with me. 2 Chronicles 28:9. Sorry, 1 Chronicles 28:9. I'm going to try these again. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, understandeth all the imaginations of thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. The Lord searcheth all hearts. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and evil. You know, we have this wonderful God who created man, and man fell. But God is constantly searching and seeking him, calling for him. Jeremiah 17:7-10. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. By these scriptures, we can see a focus here of the searching, seeking heart and the person of God, looking into the hearts and the minds and souls, looking for a tender one for his ways and words, ripe for repentance and fellowship with him, the Creator. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. It's amazing how God is seeking and searching for men, women, and children, looking for them in their lost way. In Ezekiel 34:11-16, it says, For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places that have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Luke. Seems like in Luke 15, every time that I have an opportunity to bring a lesson or talk about the word or something, my mind always goes to Luke 15. And I don't know why. Maybe the story itself of the prodigal son or the loving father. Can you imagine? We know the story. I won't read the whole story. I did the last time. But I wanted to look at the father's perspective just for a second. The son is gone. He's in sin. Each day, did you see this? And there's a reason why I brought this out. My son travels a lot. And last week he was in Oklahoma City and all the storms were coming through. And he'd been gone all day. And I know he's grown, you know. He's 30 years old. But, you know, I had his mama texting him. You okay? You okay? You got the storms, you know. And, you know, you worry about them when they're driving back. And it's going to be 2 o'clock in the morning before they're back. So can you imagine this father, that his son is left home? He's living in sin. I see this father each day. And as each day progresses, looking out at the fields and the roads, you know, looking for his son. And you can see the father heart of God in this story. When he arose in the mornings, peering through the early mist. When he's in the fields during the day, he scans the horizon. I don't know if any of you guys have hauled hay or logs or anything like that, but you know there was always a water bucket somewhere. When he went to the water bucket, stopping, taking a drink, scanning the horizon again, looking for this lost son. In the evening on the porch, after the evening meal, walks out one more time and looks in the last bit of light, looking for this son. Isaiah 65:1 says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. So how is this done? This love of God expressed in his ever-searching, seeking soul of men through his word. Brother Isaac brought it up the other day, but it was actually some notes that I'd had from a long time ago from my pastor in Arcoma that he called nuggets. Brother Isaac mentioned that the other day. And we had a gold mine. I don't know what he called platinum, but I got my notes from Brother Rick. Gold mine, and in there, and that gold mine is this word, and in that, within this word are these nuggets of grace. I call them grace nuggets. His son, the cross, the resurrection, and his spirit, stirring, convicting, pulling, drawing his people and their work. In his creation, we know that the creation declare his handiwork. When I have here his effects, the effects of life. You drive down 64, you see a billboard that tells people to be saved. You can turn on the radio and hear Christian music or a pastor or a preacher preaching. People saying kind words as a day. The Lord has many ways that he's searching for people, that he's trying to get their attention, trying to turn them to him. 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. You can see why God is persistently calling men, women, boys, and girls to salvation. Because he has not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I do not know if John Roberts, I didn't really have time to research him out any further. You put John Roberts, you always get the man that was the Supreme Court Justice, or is the Supreme Court Justice, ever accepted the invitation of God that was given to him by Thomas McKee. But today, right now, at this moment, maybe trying to shine that light of life on you, I hope that John Roberts' ordeal here can help us. There's a little song, and I hope that while John Roberts had them 7 to 20 days to think about what Thomas McKee said to him, I hope he said and did something like this. When I think of where I came from and how Jesus brought me out from a life of shame and sorrow, lost in sin without a doubt, with all my heart I want to praise him for his love he gave to me. When the precious hand of Jesus reached way down and lifted me. You can imagine a prisoner saying this chorus. From the depths of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch him. There in my despair, I cried so loud, and yet it seemed he didn't hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin, so corrupt, God's hand reached further down than I could reach up. Like a man locked up in prison, had no one to do my bail. Every time I sought for freedom, all endeavors only failed. There I was in sin's dark dungeon, bound in chains of misery, until the Lord paid me a visit, unlocked my cell, and set me free. From the depths of the pit, I tried so hard, but I couldn't touch him. There in my despair, I cried so loud, and yet it seemed he didn't hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin and so corrupt, God's hand reached further down than I could reach up. Once again, that's a powerful message in them words of God trying to reach man. So what is this? What is all this? In these final thoughts on this Wednesday night, this little lesson, what is it that we see? What is it that God is offering here? It's popped up there a few times. I don't know how many of you have caught it. Little word. Maybe we don't use it enough. But if you look real close, you see the grace of God exploding off the pages. The Father of life and light. In his Son, the light of the world, pouring his grace out. Romans 3, being justified by his grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved. Philippians 2:13, for it is God's grace, But the God of all grace, who hath called us, 1 Peter 5:10. So what? There was a lot of people I was hoping to be here tonight. I just was hoping that some people could hear and make decisions for God. I was going to say, if you hear and feel God calling through these thoughts, through His Son, that you too would be like John Roberts. Have the opportunity to find yourself qualified for the joys unspeakable and full of glory. So what was it that if you're here tonight, if you just happen to be here tonight and you do not know the calling of God upon your heart and your soul, what did Thomas McKee tell John Roberts? We all have but a short time. None of us are going to live forever. So he told him to improve most seriously, to reflect upon our sins, to be insistent prayer to the great and merciful God, that He might forgive our manifold transgressions and sins, to avoid those doleful shades where peace and rest are never found. And this is the scary part to me when I read this, where even hope cannot enter. And if you haven't, or if you don't, he said, he told him, seek fellowship, advice, and prayers of pious men. Find somebody at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church that can lead you to the Lord, can show you the way. Then, upon reflecting that you can find yourself when the time comes with the spirits of just men made perfect. And of course, they're made perfect by the blood of Christ. Now, when I did this morning, it took me 35 minutes. And it took me not quite that, huh? I run a test run this morning. So, in closing, I'd like to have a word of prayer. And whoever who wants to take over after that, we can sing a song and dismiss. I'm sure the class is probably just getting started, but sorry. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this lesson that was presented. I thank you that it does not go unheeded. Father, that there will be a tender heart and soul and mind that will think of these words and what you are doing by seeking the lost, seeking those that do not know you, and in an act of grace that you would use one of us to help them and that we would be available to them. And Father, I just thank you for this day. I pray that you'd be with Brother Isaac as he is at camp. I pray for those that are sick and afflicted in our church. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct the leaders of our church. And I ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.